Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Football on off the ball.
Yeah, so Isak is the most expensive signing in Premier League history, so I think you've got to play him. You've got to play these guys. They've bet the house on these guys, and they're only going to lose value if they're not playing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
And you are welcome to Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to seven. We hope you're doing great around the country. What's coming up in the show today? Well, we got two live and exclusive commentary games to bring you from the Premier League. We have first up West Ham United versus Newcastle United with Richie McCormack and Keith Tracy to describe that one from two. And then we're going to showcase the meeting of Manchester City and high-flying Bournemouth. Stephen Doyle and Owen Doyle will call that one. That's a 4:30 start. We have Gaelic Games Club Championship action again across hurling, football, ladies football and camogie. We will have regular updates on all the games across the country. We're also going to bring you the best of the Sunday paper review, Irish Daily Mail journalist Hugh Farrelly and the former All-Ireland winning camogie player with Cork, Sarah O'Donovan, were on the show this week. We recorded that. It's available wherever you get your pods already. And we have Sligo's finest, Cathal Mullaney, and Monaghan's finest, Shane Hannan, joining me for the news round. Good afternoon, gents.
Hey, John.
Afternoon, lads.
We're going to start with Ireland, New Zealand in Chicago. Cathal, we'll get the details and then we'll have a chat about it.
Yeah, New Zealand produced a strong final 20 minutes, John, to get the better of Ireland in the test match between the sides in Chicago last night. The All Blacks ran out 26 points to 13 winners, despite Ireland moving 6 points in front early in the second half. Ireland also played a portion of the opening half with 14 players following an early red card for Tadhg Beirne. Head coach Andy Farrell gave this reaction to Tommy Martin of Virgin Media Sport after the game last night at Soldier Field.
Well, obviously the swing there in the second half with all the pressure that we had in the first quarter there, and then playing some decent rugby, good field position and pressure rugby, obviously couldn't convert it into points, and then before we know it we turn around and the ball's in behind us, a penalty into the corner, and it's a small margins, which is top line rugby, you know, so and then backed up a few errors on the back of that. Obviously the game went away from us.
Just looking through the Sunday Times match report here from Peter O'Reilly and the stats, 5 line-out losses, no line breaks compared to New Zealand, 6, 15 turnovers lost for Ireland compared to their 13, 24 tackles missed compared to their 10. Territory and possession pretty much the same, but they didn't play well. We didn't play well. And even though at times we felt like we were dominating the game, they were able to cut us open late on and win by double scores.
It was a funny game to watch, like even at half time it kind of hadn't really sprung into life, but Ireland I suppose did well, as Cathal mentions, Tadhg Beirne's dismissal for that period of the first half. You kind of think, well, New Zealand are going to make hay here for a while, but that didn't materialise. It was kind of a game where the refereeing decisions took centre stage a little bit as well, not to lay down excuses, but a couple of decisions maybe feel went against Ireland. Maybe New Zealand fans would look at it slightly differently, but from an Irish perspective, we kind of said it on the show yesterday, they were going to come in a little bit colder than the All Blacks, and that was maybe evident towards the tail end of the game. I don't know if that was a fitness thing. Ireland could still have a very successful November series and maybe win the remaining 3 games and have some big wins against Australia and South Africa, but certainly, particularly for all of the Irish travelling support over there in Chicago, it would have been nice to get a result. But towards the end of the game, and that final third, particularly New Zealand just tore them asunder at times, and they looked by far and away the better team towards the end.
Stuart McCluskey had a good game, I felt. Ryan Baird, I thought, played well, and Jack Crowley maybe had a mixed afternoon in Chicago. Well, we got Japan next week in Dublin, then we got the World Champions in Africa, and then Australia to round off November. I think the South Africa game will tell a lot. We'll be 3 games in. Whether he mixes and matches now for Japan by the South Africa game, we'll surely see a better performance from this team. What would concern me a couple of years out from the World Cup, if we're now changing the trajectory of the plane, who are the young players coming through? Because surely we need to have surely new faces in that squad for the World Cup in a couple of years' time. Who are those people? Paddy McCarthy is an obvious one, but who are the others? And where are the X factor players in the country? A player who can deliver a bit of magic behind the scrum and do what New Zealand have been doing for decades. And I mean, maybe Brandon Driscoll is a player you only get every 50 years, but who are those players out there in the country at underage level, academy level, that we can maybe hang our hat on in future years? Because it just feels a bit same for me at the moment. And we've had an incredible run under Farrell, arguably the greatest ever coach in terms of like winning a series down New Zealand, winning the Grand Slam, being very close to the World Cup. If you consider that, you know, if we beat New Zealand, we would have been probably in the final. But at the moment, it just feels like we're on the downward point in the graph.
It's probably a natural cycle for the team, given how close that they were in the last World Cup, as you mentioned. I think last night laid bare kind of the quality that New Zealand have always had, regardless of what era that they're in. They always manage to find a way to produce kind of three or four fluid passages of attacking play in a match that'll cut a team open.
Yeah.
And we, as Ireland, just don't seem to have that at the moment. And even though, when you consider with 20 minutes left to play, Ireland were in a very good position last night. And even with the red card in the opening half, Ireland were still in a good position given their numerical disadvantage. But I think New Zealand, in that those flashes of play, even the final play of the game where there was a forward pass, but the way that they cut Ireland open with that kind of attacking fluidity showed that Ireland probably don't have that at the moment. And it's probably something that they need to try and address, where you can try and unlock defences in matches, even where you are struggling. If you produce those three or four moments, you'll still probably win the match.
It's funny, like the 10 conversation, obviously, before the game, after Munster's win over Leinster and Croke Park, it was all, well, Jack Crowley's clearly the number one in that position now. He probably still is, but it's funny how quickly the conversation can turn. You know, Jack wasn't at his best in that game yesterday particularly, and then Prendergast obviously doesn't get that much time off the bench, but Prendergast probably starts maybe against Japan. That'll be my thinking. Or maybe it's changed because of the nature of what happened last night and he throws Crowley in. But you'd expect that he would give them a little bit of even playing time across the course of the next three games. And yeah, it's a tough position to be in. Number 10 for Ireland is a tough position to be in. We often talk about the goalkeeper at Old Trafford being one of the toughest positions in sport. Mm-hmm. But in terms of Irish sport, number 10 for the rugby team, the expectation is very, very high.
You wonder what Andy Farrell is like behind scenes in the dressing room at the moment, and how calm is he? He generally comes across quite a calm character. Is he going mad? Is he? what are his deliberations? The line out again has been an issue for a while now. What's like, he's just obviously back off successful Lions tours as a coach, and we have to remember that New Zealand are much more down the road in terms of their year. They played the Rugby Championship, did mixed results in that, but we're only really starting. I mean, you know, the Six Nations is still quite a way away. Like, the South Africa game will say a lot. I mean, they went down to New Zealand and had a record defeat for New Zealand in Wellington. So how that game goes, I think, will give us a good assessment of where we truly are.
It's certainly not right to criticise Andy Farrell, because, as you say, probably our greatest coach, to be fair. But you have seen criticisms pop up recently in columns and people who certainly know the game better than I do. But, you know, the whole Lions stuff, he's obviously after writing an autobiography as well, which apparently is a brilliant read. And yet, you like to see an autobiography written after maybe someone has left a position, maybe when they have a bit more time on their hands to do that sort of thing. So from that perspective, I just thought the timing was strange for the book. And obviously, he had to take his eye off things with the Lions tour as well, which is natural. And maybe the Lions call doesn't come from...
And he left other people in charge.
He did, of course, yeah. But I don't know. You're going to be judged on results. Look, they could win the next three games.
Andy Farrell will be judged in the next World Cup. That's what it's going to comes down to. The next World Cup is... Look, you kind of get tired. I've kind of been tired of the rankings conversation. And look, if you're good enough to win a World Cup, you'll get through the difficult pools.
But does rugby only matter every 4 years then? Because this conversation...
But I think the stages to it. I mean, for Ireland, for years, it was about winning the Grand Slam in the first place. It took us 61 years to win one. And then we won one again under Schmidt. But and then we won under Farrell. But it's not winning a knockout game since 1987, since the first World Cup is a shocker. And that's something that, look, it can't be all about hanging your hat on that, but it's the ultimate test. We beat New Zealand now, five times since Soldier Field, including that one in 2016, but we've come up short in two World Cup matches against them. So that's something you surely want to change. You want to aspire to win the World Cup. So is it the be all and end all? No. If you're not good enough, if you're Scotland or Wales, can you aspire to win the World Cup at the moment? Probably not, but you can aspire to win the Six Nations at the Grand Slam. It's a testament how far we've done that we've...
Well, that's the only itch that's left unscratched, really, isn't it? The World Cup conundrum and getting to a semi-final. So that's probably why it becomes such a central part of the conversation. You have to remember, it's not actually that far away now either. the next World Cup, yeah, a couple of years' time. So we're already in that kind of cycle where you're kind of picking positions and looking at who's going to be where with a limited number of test matches, two more Six Nations campaigns left to go.
We've got Vitor Pereira now with time on his hands in the Premier League, Cahill.
Yeah, not probably a surprise this one, John, that Wolves have sacked their manager Vitor Pereira this afternoon with the club currently bottom of the Premier League table. He's been in charge since December of last year. He only signed a new contract in September of this year. However, Wolves have yet to win a game in this season's Premier League. They have just 2 points from their first 10 matches, so Vitor Pereira on the way out there. Meanwhile, Bournemouth will look to close the gap to leaders Arsenal later today. The second place side are away to Manchester City in the second of this afternoon's games. That one kicks off at 4:30.
Okay, we also have obviously the first commentary game that we're doing today, which is West Ham United against Newcastle United. Let's bring in our match commentator, Richie McCormack. How are you, Richie?
Very well, thank you.
And the teams are in, Richie. What details do you have?
Yeah, a couple of changes for each. Perhaps not a surprise from a West Ham perspective that they have reverted to a back four. That after Nuno Espirito Santo dabbling with a 3-4-3 in a defeat away to Leeds on Friday of the previous week. So they have gone with Alphonse Areola still in goal. A back four now today of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Jean-Claire Todibo, Max Kilman and Elhadj Malik Diouf. In midfield start Freddie Potts and Mateus Fernandez. They come into the side this afternoon for Thomas Souček. And up front then it's Jarrod Bowen, Lucas Paquetá, Crescencio Somerville, and playing against his former side and playing against a former side for the first time ever, would you believe, today is Callum Wilson, who will be leading the line. Irving, the other player to drop out for West Ham today, and Oliver Scarles misses out through injury. No Kieran Trippier for Newcastle today as well. So into the side for a first Premier League start since September of 2024 comes Emil Kraft. He takes his place in a back four alongside Malik Thiaw, Sven Botman and Dan Byrne. Behind them, of course, Nick Pope, who was rested for their midweek Carabao Cup win over at Tottenham. Aaron Ramsdale reverts to the bench there. Bruno Guimaraes, Sandro Tonali and Joe Linton are in midfield. Tonali comes in for Lewis Miley there, and then providing the width will be Jacob Murphy, who's been in brilliant form so far this season, keeping Anthony Elanga out of the side. Anthony Gordon will be on the left, and the man who has provided almost 50% of Newcastle's Premier League goals so far this season, their big summer signing, €75 million in from VfB Stuttgart, and he has hit the ground running, or indeed hit the air running, if you will, John. Nick Valtamada will lead the line for the Magpies. Funny one this, because Newcastle's Premier League away form is actually really shocking. They've lost, or they're winless in their last seven away games. That included a defeat at Brighton and three scoreless draws so far this season. Whereas West Ham have made their worst Premier League start after nine games since 2006-2007. That time, it cost Alan Pardew his job. They had waited until December until they actually ditched Pards and brought in Alan Kirbishley in that instance. They've already seen, of course, a change in manager here at the London Stadium. And you're left to wonder if a defeat today will bring about another one for West Ham, because Nuno Espirito Santo, similar to his successor at Nottingham Forest, Ange Postecoglou, really hasn't settled here yet. Hasn't settled upon a first starting 11, hasn't settled upon a style of play either. Things are really, really flat here at West Ham. Not helped by the ground, of course, which isn't fit for a football team, and I don't think is a good fit for West Ham. They've got a 99-year lease. They're 9 years, I believe, into that one now. Even Sadiq Khan, the London mayor, has spoken this week about them potentially moving away should new owners come into play. And I think that's what West Ham really need more than anything else now, is the big picture stuff. New owners, fresh injection of capital, a move away from the London Stadium, and to preserve their Premier League status, which, as things stand, as we know, John, is not at all certain.
No, it's not, Richie. Yeah, thanks for that, because they're on what, 4 points, Wolves on 2 and Forest on 6. And then it's a 4-point gap then to Burnley. I mean, they're 4 points from safety, as it were, in a positive way. They're 10 points, Leeds 11, Everton 11, Fulham 11, as we kind of look through the first, what, 25% of the Premier League season. But, you know, you have to, everything is wrong at West Ham at the moment. Everything is wrong. They're not too good to go down, as we've seen before over the last few decades. They do have these seasons where they do get relegated and come back up.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Last night, Liverpool, crisis, what crisis? The crisis talk is over anyway.
Yeah, they've moved back up to third in the Premier League table, John, after finally getting a win on the board last night. Too much for Aston Villa at Anfield, where they won by 2-0. 7 points now off Arsenal at the top. The Gunners out in front after their 2-0 win over Burnley yesterday.
Love to see where it's going to be on New Year's Day. How many points are Arsenal be ahead by?
Yeah, and look, it's not that it will be all over by that stage, but...
But it's amazing that they're so solid.
Yeah, yeah. And Arteta's...
And have a lot of injuries, like Havertz, Gabriel Jesus is out at the moment, Odegaard. They've really done well in terms of their squad enhancement. And players have come into the team and hit the ground pretty fluidly. Abraham Eze, you're thinking, meh. He started well. Zubimendi, Marino off the bench yesterday.
Very solid looking. Yeah,
like no shots on target for Burnley yesterday.
No. And just a couple of the other talking points from yesterday as well. I don't know if you've seen the video of Thomas Frank.
How could I miss it
as a Tottenham fan? Mickey van der Ven and Jed Spence appearing to blank Thomas Frank as he walked onto the pitch at the full-time whistle. And
it's gone viral.
Well, they certainly did blank him. There's no appearing, but obviously we don't know what was said between them. But it's not the look you want to see, and certainly there was a look back and a stare from Thomas Frank at the two players after that. So you don't want to see that sort of thing. It's the type of thing that you'd imagine gets.
Could you imagine Manchester United players doing that to Fergie?
Absolutely. Well, you'd be gone from first team training for a start.
No, it's a different era, and
Frank is in a different position too.
Yeah,
he's still early in the door, but it's not a good sign this early.
No, players should not be doing that sort of thing. You know, in the moment, you have to realize you shake your manager's hand regardless. Everyone's going to be disappointed after a home defeat, particularly, but that's not the kind of thing you want to see.
Alan Shearer was on Match of the Day, kind of trying to give the players' perspective, just the anger and the frustration, and you know that could happen maybe on a training ground or it could happen in a dressing room and it would never be noticed because the cameras aren't there. But then the world we live in now, and there are hundreds of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. No, I'm saying that at the training ground or in the dressing room, there might not be cameras for this.
Yeah.
So they might act in this way. We just never see it. But to do it in front of the glare of everybody.
Yeah, when they know.
But for Frank then to come out afterwards and kind of downplay it, I didn't think was the right thing to do. Just say nothing. But maybe the Frank way is conversational. There's a lot of explaining all the time. And maybe just say nothing and then deal with it. Now, he did deal with Yves Bissouma pretty, who was late earlier in the season. And he was pretty, he's been kind of kept out in the cold. I know he's injured at the moment, but I can't see a way back for him at Tottenham.
No.
But Mickey van der Ven is not somebody you can do that to.
No,
if Jeff Spence, he can, but Mickey van der Ven, the captain, and it was all hugs and smiles last week at Everton. But
and look, they're home.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look for Frank.
Yeah.
And it would be no harm for maybe Mickey van der Ven to be coming out and saying, look, hold my hands up.
Yeah.
Should have done that. I think if you're the clubs, if you're Vinay Venkatesham, the CEO or somebody in the club, you want to be saying to Mickey van der Ven, look, you want to come out here in front up and say, look, what I did was I wasn't reflective of who should be captain for the day here. I know Romero's the captain, but otherwise it'll just feed into a narrative that the club are, looking at the table here, you know, still right up there in the Premier League table.
Yeah, and like Liverpool, after their terrible run, are third in the table.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, so it goes to show.
Spurs are fourth.
Yeah, goes to
and
show.
And booed off
very,
the pitch.
Very close.
Like, the fourth place team in the league booed off the pitch.
The worst XG, XG can some people
forget about
absolutely
that.
Hate XG. And I'm one of the people that's more negative about XG because, you know, the only XG that matters is the goals scored and goals against. But they had the worst XG in history. 0.05 Tottenham yesterday.
Wow.
Against Chelsea, and it is Chelsea, and Tottenham don't like Chelsea, so it was just so easy for Chelsea. And it's strange that Tottenham are a team that can only seem to play away from home at the moment.
Yeah,
lost to Bournemouth at home, drew with Wolves with a late equaliser from João Paulinho, lost to Aston Villa at home last week, lost to Chelsea yesterday. But Xavi Simons hasn't got going at all. Like Tuchel adverts, Simons hasn't got going. Kolo Muani, like they're facing the biggest challenges in terms of attacking input and just shows how great Harry Kane was.
Yeah, I don't know what the match of the day crew thought of the Nottingham Forest result as well, but particularly the Casemiro opener from the corner that wasn't. Forest obviously feeling very aggrieved that the ball hadn't crossed the line, and that's twice in 2 weeks I think it's happened to Sean Dyche and Nottingham Forest. That's the sort of thing, you know, if we have VAR for everything else, surely we can decide in seconds whether or not a ball has crossed the line for a corner.
What about Manchester United conceding, what, 2 goals in 5 minutes after halftime team talk was interesting, I thought.
Well, I think it's interesting that you mentioned Spurs there. If you compare Spurs and Manchester United over the last 2 months, consider Ruben Amorim head in hands at Grimsby Town, what, 2 months ago? Yeah. And now and Thomas Frank at that stage looked like he had really refreshed things at Spurs in his early part of the tenure. And now it's almost flipped on its head, where I think United have a bit of steel about them now. Mm. Even to come back, I know that they conceded 2 in 5 minutes yesterday, but to come back and get a point.
I know they could have won it, Ahmad, then they could have effort cleared off the line at the end.
That's right, yeah.
So that's a game they would, a game they would have lost. Even a couple of months ago, that's a game they would have lost.
Yeah. You know what, I really do believe lack of European football, lack of League Cup football is helping.
Yeah.
Surely, like, that's the only thing they got to worry about.
Yeah, that Europa League final might turn out to be a blessing in disguise.
Well, that's it.
Bilbao for United.
Yeah. I mean, Tottenham going to what? Deepest Norway, Monaco, these places to play matches. So, League of Ireland-wise, we had the commentary of Drogheda Bohemians yesterday, and it's fascinating to see how it all ended.
Yeah, the final day of the Premier Division season, John, and Waterford now await the winners of today's SSE or Tricity League First Division playoff. The Blues failed to find a way past Galway United yesterday, so they finished their Premier Division season in ninth place. Bray Wanderers and Treaty United face off for the right to play Waterford in the decider, and they meet at Lissy Bullen this afternoon and at Lone for a 3 o'clock kickoff. Elsewhere yesterday, Shamrock Rovers collected the trophy, but they were beaten 2-1 by Sligo Rovers at Tallaght Stadium. Galway United finished in eighth place after their draw in Waterford, and then in the race for Europe, Derry City secured second spot. They beat Cork City, who were already relegated by a goal to nil at Turner's Cross. Shelburne finished third. They played out a goalless draw with St. Pat's yesterday, the Saints missing out on Europe after finishing in fifth spot. And Bohemians look set to play in Europe if Shamrock Rovers win the FAI Cup. That's after Bulls beat Drogheda United by 4-1 yesterday. The Bulls boss, Alan Reynolds, says he's pleased with their fourth place finish.
I look absolutely thrilled. I thought we'd done a professional job going on tonight's performance. Typical us, we go ahead and then we concede. But I thought we were calm and everything, and I thought there were some outstanding performances, James Clark, Ross Tierney, you know, as well as the way the lads defended. I was delighted for them. We've had a tough year, you know, started poorly, middle was alright, and then the last quarter has been up and down. But to finish fourth from where we were last year, finishing eighth to fourth, I'm delighted.
It's interesting. I would love to garner the thoughts, and I can see both sides of the coin here, but the thoughts of Waterford when they saw the result at Tallaght Stadium. You know, Sligo Rovers getting a win for the first time at Tallaght Stadium since 2021 against Shamrock Rovers. And in fairness, Stephen Bradley made wholesale changes to the team that beat Galway to secure the trophy during the week. But in Bradley's defence, you know, they have AEK Athens away from home on Thursday night over in Greece. And then, of course, the FAI Cup final to come as well. So you can see why they made a lot of changes. But if you're Waterford, you're looking at that game going, well, on most occasions, Shamrock Rovers win that game possibly comfortably at home against a relegation threat in Sligo.
Well, they have been winning their matches.
I know, they've been
the last few weeks. They've been losing. They lost in Derry, lost to Shelburne. And also, it's up to you to sort your own stuff out.
True. You can't blame other teams on the final day of the season. I get that argument as well. But probably it was one of those where they were looking across at other results thinking, well, this could have gone potentially another direction. But it was just an amazing final day. And for so much to have been decided on the last day, except for maybe first and last, quite incredible. Great advertisement for the league.
Yeah, and I think we've seen the benefit of European football and how significant it is for those teams to finish in the European places now, given the money that Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers are bringing in, obviously having reached the league phase of the Conference League. It's a really disappointing year for St. Pat's to finish in fifth place.
Yeah, shocking.
The investment in their squad and the players that they have at their disposal.
People were predicting they would win the league.
Yeah, I certainly thought that they'd be in and around a challenge for with Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne and some of the other teams. For Bohemians, it takes a bit of pressure off them. They gave Alan Reynolds a new contract late enough on in the season, and then their form kind of dipped. But for them to get fourth gives them a good shot now at getting into Europe as well. So that's a big boost for them after a disappointing year last year.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
So, we have Celtic and Rangers today.
Yeah, should be interesting. Martin O'Neill faces his first Old Firm derby since returning to the Celtic job this afternoon. He leads them into battle with Rangers in the semi-finals of the Scottish League Cup. That one kicks off at Hampden Park at 2 o'clock this afternoon. St Mirren await the winners in the decider. That's after they beat Motherwell by 4-1 yesterday.
Do you think you have what it takes to beat Team OTB in William Hill's Final One standing? Well, make sure to check out offtheball.com/... Final One Standing, or use code OTB1 on the William Hill app to get signed up. Our new league kicks off on the 8th of November, next Saturday, and this time you'll go head-to-head with the off-the-ball finest. I mean, you know you're going to beat them. So sign up now, see if you have what it takes to be the Final One Standing.
Next to golf, John Tom McKibben is the Hong Kong Open champion. After a decisive win in Fanling overnight, the down native carded a final round of 63. He ended the week there on 27 under par. That was a 7-shot victory. He was 7 shots better off than Peter Uihlein in second. And that win significantly secures McKibben a place in next year's Masters and in the Open Championship.
For the golfer, these are things that are definitely worth embracing. Yeah, these places and these tournaments. But he's got something. He's definitely got something.
He absolutely has. Next to Gaelic Games, places in the quarterfinals of the Leinster Club Football Championship are up for grabs this afternoon. The Meath champion Summerhill go up against Cloe Young Emmets of Longford in the first round. That one underway in the next few moments at Park Talton and Navan from 1:30. And at the same time, Ockram is the venue for the meeting of Bold and Glass of Wicklow and Kildare's Athy for a place in the last eight. Last night, Port Arlington got the better of Old Loughlin of Carlow at Netwatch Cullen Park. Meanwhile, last year's beaten Munster hurling finalist Ballygunner back in action in Munster today. The Waterford Kingpins take on Na Piarsaigh from Limerick in their hurling quarter final at 3:30. In terms of county finals today, one of them in Waterford, the football decider sees Rathgormack go up against the Nar, who they beat in 2013. Throw-in for that one at Fraher Field is at 2:00. A couple of latest scores then to bring you as well, John, in the Connacht Club Ladies Football Championship this afternoon. Kilkerran Clonburn, the reigning All-Ireland champions, in action against Westport of Mayo, the Galway club, leading there by 1-6-2-1. That game threw in at 1:00 this afternoon. And then in the Ulster Camogie semi-finals, a big game there this afternoon between Slochneil of Derry. They're up against Lochiel of Antrim, and that scoreline currently reads Lochiel Shamrocks a goal on 4, Slochneil of Derry 4 points. 22 minutes gone there in the first half.
One we didn't mention yesterday was Jason Sherlock's addition to the Roscommon backroom team for next season, which I thought was fascinating. Obviously he had great work with that brilliant Dublin 6-in-a-row team, and then was performance coach with Westmeath Footballers, but he's gone in under Mark Dowd now, who's replaced Davy Burke for next year with Roscommon. And it's quite a coup to get Jason Sherlock. He's been linked with different top jobs, as in the head guy in different counties. Even before Monaghan hired Vinnie Corey, Jason Sherlock's name kind of materialised. Really, really interesting appointment, and they're back in Division 1 of the Allianz Leagues for next season, so we'll see what happens there, but interesting appointment.
We've got a great story from a horse racing perspective. Irish success at the Breeders' Cup meeting in Del Mar in California yesterday, Colin.
Yeah, Willie Mullins making history there, John. The Carlow-based trainer caused an upset by taking the honours with Ethical Diamond storming to victory under Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall. It's yet another major win for Mullins, who was asked to rank where this one stands when he spoke last night with Racing TV.
Well, I've always said winning the Grand National with Patrick on board.
But your son Patrick.
Yeah, this might come second best. Yeah, I mean, what a! I just couldn't believe it. I was counting the horses around him going down into the last bend, and I thought, Dylan, have you gone mad going around the outside? But he did tell me he was going to do that. And then when I just looked at where he was and the speed he was going, I said, this is going to be on. And next thing, like I said, a furlong down, this is over. Couldn't believe it.
This is, for even for Willie Mullins, this is Disney. So he's a national hunt. He's a jumps racing trainer. He sends a horse that hasn't been effectively amazing over jumps into the flat sphere, wins a couple of handicaps, wins a handicap at Royal Ascot, then wins the Ebor handicap at York. But to go to a Grade 1 race, the Breeders' Cup Turf, a mile and four furlongs at Del Mar against the world's best in California, 28-1 unconsidered horse. And the other part of the Disney is that Dylan Brown McMonagall, who there was a short movie made about him when he was 12 from Letterkenny and Donegal, about him wanting to be the champion jockey. And this week he was crowned champion jockey of flat racing at 22 years of age. For him to give the horse such a great ride. And I think you could see the disbelief with Willie Mullins that they were hoping to do well, but to win the Breeders' Cup Turf was just incredible. And what they're going to do now, Willie Mullins is on his way from California to Australia for the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, where he's running Absurd. And Dylan Brown McMonagall is at the Curragh today to get the trophy, to be crowned champion flat jockey. It is Disney stuff. Forever Young, the first ever Japanese horse to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, the big race on the night at Del Mar, 1 mile, 2 furlong, Forever Young. Great celebrations in the crowd. But 2,080,000 sterling. I'm just looking here at the race and post results for Willie Mullins and connections to win with Ethical Diamond. I mean, that's as much as almost you'd win in the season. And then obviously percentage of that to everybody who were played such a big part in that great victory. So nothing Willie Mullins can't do. Grand National winner this year, which obviously Shane Hannon tipped, Nick Rocket, and then the Breeders' Cup Turf last night in the flash dual purpose. So, I mean, you know, he's definitely in the conversation for Manager of the Year again. We have, a meeting at Cork this afternoon here domestically, the Cork Grand National. Always the big one this time of year down in Mallow. So we're looking forward to that. And also the Curragh, as we say, is staging a flat meeting today. So
you're going to mention the World Series, John, as well?
I am, yeah. The World Series has been won by the Los Angeles Dodgers, back-to-back World Series titles. When I was looking the other day, they were behind the Toronto Blue Jays. They had to go to Toronto. They needed to come from behind to win the seven-game series, and they've done that 4-3. The first come-from-behind winner in 25 years at the World Series in baseball, taking it 5-4 after an extra innings in the deciding seventh game. So, yeah, big stuff for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
First back-to-back World Series since the New York Yankees in 2000 as well.
Yeah.
And you had a fairy tale first day. Your first ever day on the United States, John.
Well, I didn't see Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese superstar, has been lighting it up for the LA Dodgers. But in 2009, when Obama was president, and maybe the world was in a better spot, or maybe it wasn't, whatever you want to believe, flew to America from Dublin, flew to New York. First day in America, went to see the Yankees. And that wasn't a bad thing to be doing on your first day in America.
No.
And look, get over. I mean, last year went to the NFL, went to see the Boston Celtics and the New England Patriots. Folks, if you have a bit of spare coin or if you want to save up, go to one of these amazing sporting events in America. Because there's a service culture. Mm. Not saying other countries don't have it, but that they're obsessed with the service culture and the role of the dollar.
Yeah.
It is. And maybe we saw the negative aspects of that at Soldier Field last night. Where sometimes we, as Irish sports fans, just want to get in and get out and enjoy our game and be immersed in it for the 70 minutes or the 80 minutes or the 90 minutes of it. They're all about the show over there. So the baseball, you'd end up just walking around. You'd end up just
hot dogs,
walking around. And the passion of the fans and all the garb. I remember going into a bar, first day in America, and everybody, like men and women, wearing all the, you know, the replica kits and having the beers and the music is blaring. And yeah. As we have an All-Ireland final there.
True,
year
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
But have you been to a baseball match?
No, I've never been to a baseball match. Yeah, I've done American football, of course. But yeah, the baseball, it always struck me as, yeah, it's an entertainment thing. It is like you're not really there for the game. You watch a bit of the match, try and understand what's going on.
It's a bit like cricket. There's a relaxed nature to it. You can get, you know,
spend the day, yeah.
You spend the kind of the day. American football a bit the same. Basketball a bit more up and at them and in your face. Have you been to baseball?
No, I was at Fenway Park earlier in the year.
What did you make of it?
Actually, yeah.
So what's the Fenway?
The tour, I just did the tour. Wasn't it a match?
Yeah, but same as. Very historic ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
An unusual kind of place that it's in and stuff as well, but it's iconic history.
Mm.
Brilliant.
You've been there too, John, haven't you?
Not to Fenway Park.
Oh, not to Fenway, sorry, you've been to Boston.
Yeah. But folks, if you can, try and see some American sports, or any sport indeed, and any sport event you go to is wonderful. Shane Hannon, Cathal Mullany, thank you so much for the news round here on Off the Ball Sunday. We got to take a break. We got Keith Tracy to build up to our first Premier League commentary of the day, West Ham against Newcastle, and react to all of yesterday's games and the news that Wolves have sacked Vitor Pereira. Well, stay with us.